You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Love, pride, hate, fear.
Have you no emotions, sir?
I'm the doctor.
I am the doctor.
Something has gone very wrong with time. We're trapped inside a single moment.
So sorry. I don't suppose either of you is a doctor.
You're trying to be funny.
These police boxes, they're never so good, aren't they?
We do have one little advantage.
What advantage?
There's two of us.
Is he here? Is the doctor here?
Hey everyone, welcome to the 175th anniversary episode of Earth Station Who. Happy holidays, everyone. And yes, folks, new Doctor Who. Finally, after all this time, we got to see what happened to the Doctor, and we got to meet, have him to see what happens when he meets one of his older regenerations. And it was actually a great, you know, Christmas special. It was full of not really much holiday cheer, but it was a good time. And the, you know, season ended with a cliffhanger, and it was just a lot of, you know, answers. Not really, but it's the end of a couple of eras here, and we're going to talk all about it. So we are going to be talking about Twice Upon a Time, and, you know, we got a great crew to talk all about it. First, of course, we have Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
Howdy, sir. How are you?
I am peachy keen. Yes, very feeling right now. I'm feeling post-festive. Is that right? Yes. Okay.
Post-festivus? What?
Yes.
Okay.
We're sort of in the middle of it, but yes.
You could say we've been in the middle of it for years, my friend.
Absolutely.
So thank goodness you survived. And of course we have Mary Ogle, who's also surviving out in hot California.
Yeah, too hot. But hopefully cooling down now. Happy Hula Days, everybody.
Hula Days. The fires are past you, hopefully, maybe?
Yes, the fire is past, and it's almost 90% contained now. So we are definitely getting there. Still some smoke, but no flames.
That's good. It's not enough to go out and roast marshmallows on anymore. That's good. That is awesome. And we have a return to the show. Yes, folks, the lovely and talented Jennifer Hartshorne is back with us.
Hello, sweeties.
Welcome back.
Why, thank you, sir.
It's good to have you back for the holiday special. It's a true present.
It is very good. Indeed, it is very good to be back.
So how has things been over at MCU?
Things have been quiet insofar as I am my doctorate has been heating up, and of course we had no Shield for a long while there. We had Inhumans, but John and I made the executive decision that we just really didn't want to talk about it because it was just so awful. But we're getting caught up on Shield over break now, and we will hopefully be doing every couple of weeks once the show gets started again in January.
Yay! That'd be great to have you back on the network again.
Yay!
Exactly. And of course, we want to hear from you guys. We've been hearing a lot about what people out there have been thinking. We've had set up a special feed on Earth Station Who on our Facebook page. And we, you know, been having people just post there what they thought. And we've gotten, you know, some mixed, but, you know, it's very interesting to hear all about it. And, you know, people are passionate. That's a good way to put it. Passionate. You know, fandom.
That's a diplomatic way to put it.
Hey. You know, we are diplomatic, you know, we're wibbly wobbly timey wimey, but we're also diplomatic on the show. So it's good. And we, you know, it was neat having a multi-doctor story to end an era of the 12th Doctor. So it was actually pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to hear about it. So please write us eswpodcast@gmail.com or call us 404-963-9057. Let us know your thoughts. You know, even though the show of Doctor Who is going on hiatus now until the fall, and, you know, literally the Doctor went for a fall at the end of this one. So it will be interesting. You know, we're still going to be around. So please join us as we like to call these the Wonder Years. You know, and we're going to be wandering through talking about Doctor Who. And, absolutely. You know, we've got a lot of great ideas going on. And, you know, we might be talking about some stuff we haven't ever talked about on the show. So it would be kind of fun. So got some ideas. And, you know, please stick with us through this. We'd really appreciate it. All right. Let's get started. Doctor Who, Twice Upon a Time. Jen, you know, since you haven't been with us for a bit, I'm going to start you off. What were your, you know, we remember you were with us at the end of this last season still. Mm-hmm. So, you know, refresh us. What were your thoughts on Doctor Who at the time? And then, you know, coming into the Christmas special.
Sure. This season I had very mixed feelings about because I think there were some absolutely God-poundingly awful episodes. But there was so much that was great in there too. I was very pleasantly surprised by Nardole, as I believe we all were. I was dreading him going into last season, and he ended up being awesome. I loved the combination of the two masters in the season closer. I just rewatched that episode when BBC America was doing their marathon the last couple of days, and man, that last speech that he has to the two of them, there were a lot of echoes of that in his final speech in the Christmas episode. You know, Capaldi he's my doctor. I mean, I didn't think anything was going to top 10, but he absolutely is my doctor. And I'm so happy to see the way that the care, I think that this more than any other doctor has had a character growth story arc. In a lot of the time there isn't, you know, the doctor's just the doctor, and he's, you know, he's where he is when he starts, and he's where he is when he regenerates. But with 12, you really got to see character growth and change. And I think that the way that they wrapped it up going into the Christmas special was great. And honestly, I know that the season closer, they weren't sure at the time that it was they were starting to plan out the season, whether or not that was going to be it, or whether or not there was going to be a Christmas special. And so the season closer could have been a fairly satisfying end for the character. But I'm so glad that we got to do the Christmas special and bring back the First Doctor and bring back Bill and just bring things full circle.
It was interesting because you could have had it be an ending story at the end of last season, and you could have had the new Doctor for a Christmas story. But I think this was a good farewell to Capaldi and Moffat, and actually Murray Gold. Even this is his last.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Was it me, or did they bring back other Doctors' themes a bunch of times?
Oh, they totally did.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of callbacks.
It was like Murray Gold's greatest hits.
Right.
There was a lot of that in there.
Yeah.
No, but I thought they did it perfectly. And, you know, it was very subtle throughout the different scenes and such. It was interesting. What about you guys, Mike and Mary, you know, going into this? You know, we had talked about, you know, getting ready for the Christmas special and, you know, what we were hoping for. But this is now, it was here. Did it live up to your expectations?
Yeah. You know, I didn't have a lot of expectations going into it, but I was, what surprised me about it, and it wasn't a bad surprise, is that this was a very quiet episode. It had a real undercurrent of melancholy, and just, you know, a little bit of little thread of hope at the end. But I think what Jen was saying about Capaldi's character growth as the Doctor, that was kind of carried through here, in that he started out as a very angry Doctor, And then he reaches a kind of resigned acceptance by the end of this episode. And I thought that was really interesting to watch. I know I've heard criticisms about how this episode was not action oriented, and it wasn't. And it really had a very little plot, which is unlike Stephen Moffat. Mm-hmm. And yet I like that about it, because it really it lent a lot of weight to the character development and to the interactions between the two doctors, and how each of them in their own way was afraid of change, but ultimately accepted it. I mean, overall, I think it was a very fitting end to Capaldi and Stephen Moffat.
I think, like what Jen had commented on somewhere on Facebook, that somebody, you know, the whole time, you know, through Capaldi's first season, is he a good man?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. Look what happened to him in this episode.
Yeah, I really wish that I was waiting for, because he was bringing back all of his, you know, various catchphrases and things that he had said over the years. And it seemed like he needed to, in that last speech, to say, you know, I am a good man, because that was such a big theme. And they beat people over the head with it so much in that first season. And I so much wanted him to say, you know, and remember always, always that you are a good man. And then I wanted Jodie to regenerate and be like, so about that.
Though I'm glad he didn't say that, though, actually.
Yeah, it's a little too on the nose.
Yeah, I mean, I think he still isn't sure whether he's a good man.
Yeah,
I
that's true.
Well, there's that, too.
What about you, Mikey?
The little special that aired after talking about Capaldi's run and Moffat's run too, really brought it home for me, seeing, you know, it wasn't that long ago, but yet, I don't know, it's almost like playing the doctor ages you, like maybe being the president and all that, because, well, he was the president of the world, so there is that. But just looking at Peter here in this episode, and then flashing back what 3-4 years ago, mm-hmm. he looks so much like younger and mm-hmm. so different, so raw, still cooking, I guess, but with the short hair. And he really mm-hmm. hadn't, you know, it took him a while, I think, despite the fact that it was a dream come true, I think it took him a little while to figure out what kind of doctor he was going to portray.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been interesting to hear those discussions that he and Stephen must have had in terms of how this was going to play out. But regarding the Christmas episode, it is really, I try not to get my expectations up too high. Of course, as you know, I try to keep away from all spoilers and whatnot. So some of the people that made guest appearances were not revealed to me by ahead of time, but they weren't a surprise either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I wasn't like, oh, what's Jenna doing here? You know, like, and actually that it in the way that Stephen wrote this, it made sense. And a lot of it made a lot of sense. I really, you know, the plot is pretty simple. So good on Stephen for keeping it that way and really just letting the weight and the emotion of what's going on really just dictate everything. And you can really tell with the thought of memories and moving on and not wanting to move on and end things. Like it, this is really maybe one of the most personal stories we've ever gotten from Stephen, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really well done, and I love the interaction between the first and 12th Doctor.
And I loved the fact that, you know, in our current political social climate, they very much called out the fact that that was a very different time, and there were things that were appropriate then that are really not at all appropriate now.
It was interesting because we were watching with my sister-in-law and also my nephew and niece, and my sister-in-law, you know, is a very huge, you know, women's rights and, you know, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And she was like hearing the first doctor say some of this and was like, he did not just say that, did he?
and 12 was absolutely mortified.
Oh, it was awesome. It was just great. It's like, oh no, you just did not say that. You did not go there. And it was great to show the differences. And even the first Doctor looking on the 12th Doctor, you know, with disapproval, mm-hmm. you know, looking, you know, about the TARDIS, about the guitar, about the sonic screwdriver, about the sunglasses. It was just mm-hmm. like, boom, boom, boom. And it's like, why do you need all these? And you have to remember, because everyone always thinks that the first Doctor was the oldest. Mm-hmm. He's not. He's the youngest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other, you know, the Doctor 12 has 1,500 years on him. Mm-hmm. And this, it's just, it's amazing to think about. And I loved when he looked at him. It's like, I thought I was going to get younger. It's like, I am younger. It was just awesome.
I thought David Bradley did a really great job. You know, there were times when I obviously knew it wasn't William Hartnell. But I mean, they really tried to ram it in your face that this is going to be as close as we can get, right? Like everything from the morphing from the William Hartnell stuff mm-hmm. to Bradley, like in and out. I think my biggest surprise was to see the appearance of Ben and Polly, like a new yeah. Ben and Polly. I was like, whoa, are they going to be in it? No, they're not going to be in it. Like I was thinking like, wow, are they going to be in it for more than just a second? But no. You know, and I'm, you know, it was a very simple story. I'm glad they didn't try to overtell things. I mean, there was a lot of speculation as to what this could do. Like, you know, it's going to do this. It's going to take place here. It's going to do, you know, and I'm just glad they kept it really simple and told, you know, at its heart too, you know, there was the Christmas element of it, I thought was really great to use the World War One moment. Mm-hmm. I thought that was perfect. Very, there's a lot of like, I don't want to say cleverness to it because it's, mm-hmm. it seems, I know that, you know, the simplicity of it is not easy to pull off. But I did, the comments about the sexism comments at first, I kind of thought, well, I hope they don't keep doing this and undermine him, right? Because he's more than this, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that later on he has some moments that really show that this, you know, for fans of Hartnell, I mm-hmm. was worried that they were going to be upset that this is just like an old, well, not an old guy, but a young, you know, a younger version of the Doctor that is just spouting all this stuff that mm-hmm. doesn't make any sense and that we're embarrassed by now. But you know, there's a lot to Hartnell's time as the Doctor, and I think in the end they really did do him justice.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gets into the whole thing. Like when you think about it, how many things did you say as a teenager where you thought you knew it all?
Right.
And if you saw him now as, you know, somebody in your 40s or 50s, looking back at that person, looking at him and say, "God, you're an idiot," you know.
But what do you think of? What do you think of, though? Okay, so Stephen pops in a scene where we basically learn not exactly the reasons, but more or less the idea of what the First Doctor was running towards, if not running from, mm-hmm. when he decided to go on this adventure in the first place with Susan. I thought that was a very dangerous scene, like you know, full of like landmines that old fans would be like, "Whoa, what are you doing?" But I thought actually it was very simple and it made a lot of sense.
No, I agree. It was interesting. It did make a lot of sense, but it was also, this was a Doctor who didn't want to regenerate because he didn't know what his future incarnations would be like. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I thought it was very eye-opening, and this was the reason he went ahead and went with the regeneration.
And yeah, I don't think we've ever had a multiple Doctor story so close to regeneration, have we? Except for maybe 10?
No.
Right. This is like obviously they're both having this adventure they're regenerating.
Yeah, exactly. It's a double regeneration. Yeah. Which is definitely a new one.
The War Doctor regenerating in the.
That's true. He knew what was coming after that. That's right. He did. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So a lot of the old jokes, you know, are spent on that one, really. So you don't need a lot of them here. But no, the part where he's talking about, like, you know, leaving, and he wants to, he's really interested in the definition between good and evil, mm-hmm. is really, like, interesting. It's something that I must admit I hadn't really thought of before. But, you know, as Jen points out, with the Peter Capaldi doctor being so concerned about being a good man, boy, it's still like thousands of years later and he's still trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or well, is it because we're all trying to figure that out?
Well, oh, exactly. Yeah. Every
you
day
you become less sure about that as you grow older, not more sure. And I like that they kind of mirror that, because the first doctor is actually quite rigid in some ways.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know, and how he's changed over the years. You know, the 12th doctor is much more open. And, you know, that was a nice parallel. But also that at heart they're still the same person, and they share some of the same fears.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, again, you know, taking the teenage versus mature versions. You know, the world is much simpler. You know, when you're younger, you feel very passionately about things, and you feel there's a right and a wrong. And the older that you get, in most cases, you realize, well, it's a lot more complicated than that. Yes, there is good and there is evil, but it's complicated. It's not as easy as you think it is when you're younger.
Mm-hmm. And even to the point where, you know, the plot and the what's going on, you know, I love the doctor's line where he's like, this isn't even an evil plot. I don't know what to do. This is not an evil plot. Like,
I don't know what to do.
I hate it when this happens. Like, it's just like, it's so bothersome. But mm-hmm. yes, I also did not expect that we would see that Dalek again.
No,
that seemed a little just there for no reason.
Right? I almost expected it to be Davros at a point.
Yeah,
that might have made more sense in a way.
Exactly, because, you know, that was I can see him wanting to get closure with Davros almost. Mm-hmm. But the thing with it being Rusty, it just seemed like that was the one plot thing that I just was like, why are we doing this? This doesn't really make
exactly. Out of all the plot holes that Moffat gave us, that was the one he decided to close in the final.
Right. And and I don't know if anybody else got this feeling, but when they're about to go into that area, they're standing at the bottom of these very dramatically lit stairs. And when I was looking at that, I was like, what is that reminding me of? And I realized it reminded me a lot of the library. It was not right before then. It was when they were before they met, right when Bill was coming in and the TARDIS was at the bottom of the stairs. But I thought it was the library. And when he was like, where's the one place that I can go that has a bigger database than Gallifrey? I was like, oh, my God, he's going to go back and see River. But no.
Nope.
I think that would have been more interesting.
A few people at our house actually said, he's at the library. It was actually like that would have come full circle with Moffat, which would have been actually kind of cool.
Kind of, but we've had such a great closing scene between the Doctor and Rose. I mean, between the Doctor and River, I don't want like that. I don't want to redo that. So that was fine. In fact, you know, I mean, they did bring up, you know, speaking of closure, I mean, we do see, you know, Clara again, and they do kind of, you know, like, you know, resolve that memory hole in him. So at least that was and that made sense too. I thought that was that was well done. It didn't feel like, oh God, it's Clara again. You know, it was like, okay, she's got a purpose. She's not there just so he can like wave goodbye. You know, like it's not like a 10 tour, right? Like,
no.
Right.
Exactly. I would have rather seen this than this is the time of your life, doctor type thing. Right. And him running into Clara and me or something like that. Mm-hmm. This worked a little bit better. And I was like, okay, I can deal with that.
It made sense. And, you know, after so many times of Bill saying, you know, that's what people are, is memories. I was going, oh man, I hope that they resolve the thing with Clara, because otherwise this is just like a gaping hole that is painful.
Yeah, sort of like a Donna type.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Dr. I mean, Donna. That's
a, yeah, mm-hmm. That's a very Moffat thing, that the only afterlife we really have is memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was fitting that he would revisit that in his final episode.
I think it was actually pretty cool, because there truthfully was not a bad guy in this. And that's what the doctor even said. You know, I don't know what it's like not to have somebody to fight against. And it was just interesting to see, because these people were technically not doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. They were actually creating a database of everybody's lives.
Right, a kind of matrix.
Yeah.
What do you think of the insistence, though, from Bill that she's Bill? Like, for all intents and purposes, she's Bill. Like, and it doesn't really, you know, we don't get into a huge debate, but I mean, the doctor challenges that,
and she
insists that she is, because what else is, you know, a person than what their memories, you know, accumulation of their memories. I don't know. I think I'm kind of siding with the doctor that there's a little bit more to it than that. But I mean, she makes a pretty good case.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly he's allowed to get some closure based on three memories, really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, three banks of memories.
It was interesting, though, because to the doctor, he just knew her as a Cyberman the last time. He didn't know anything about Pool Girl, you know, coming and taking,
right,
you know, her
right,
away.
Right.
So he had no idea about that.
Pool Water girl and cabana boy. Yeah.
So I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Nardole as a cabana boy.
Yeah. Oh, just as long as he isn't in a Speedo, I'm okay with that. That's a picture I just didn't want to put out there. But you at home can listen, take that one into effect. It's just, it's interesting, though, because I did think, you know, oh, wait a minute, when they, you know, kept on saying, oh, it's me, doctor, it's me. And then you kept on seeing her in her glass form. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, is she going to do something to the sergeant? Or was she, you know, or was she going to attack the doctors, or, you know, whatever? Was she going to sabotage something? But she never did.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a kind of like, oh, that's it. Okay.
There was no bad guy.
Like, so let me see if I get this straight, though. Is the purpose of them to store every human being, every life form, or just like doctor companions? Like, I was like, doctor companions alone would fill that ship up pretty large. So I could see if they were, you know, if that was just like the doctor ship of the whole thing.
Well, even the doctor said that, you know, with the people who've traveled with him.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was just interesting. I think it's everybody. I think it is every, you know, being. That's why it was going back into World War One to get the sergeant. And that when he, you know, when they grabbed him, but when the two doctors met, it created the time paradox, and that's what pulled him out.
Right.
That's the impression I got, that it's everyone that they're trying to save. I mean, that's the age old debate. I mean, are we just our memories, or is there a soul?
Right.
I mean, that's what they're really arguing about.
And it's interesting that this is something that, this is not the first time that Moffat has, you know, addressed this. Because there's the river in the library, and, you know, the people who are saved, quote unquote, that way. And then you've got in the Cybermen episode, was it Dark Water, and Death in Heaven, the same thing. They were, you know, creating, that was the whole premise of that company that was actually making Cybermen, but that it was, you know, storing people's memories. If I remember right, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So obviously this is a theme that Moffat comes back to more than once, is, you know, what is identity? What is, you know, what is the essence of a person? And he definitely seems to be coming down on the idea that, that, you know, all we are memories.
Did, now at the beginning, I'm going to switch up a little bit. In the beginning of the episode, when we find out that the first doctor stops his regeneration and pauses it, were you guys a little worried? like what's he doing? What's Steven doing? What's like, cause I know that, you know, we've covered this and obviously many times, you know, Steven's not afraid to rewrite or add a little bit here and there, sprinkle some fairy dust over in the past events. Right. So,
like
I mean,
the time war.
Right. So he kind of does it with the first doctor here, and whether or not that, you know, that, you know, having the doctor stop that regeneration or at least pause it anyway for a little while, you know, that could speak to the first doctor's character. So a lot of first doctor fans could be a little nervous about that. So I know that I was kind of, I don't want to say taken aback because that seems a bit extreme, but I was like, oh, what's going on here? Because, you know, this is something that we thought we knew this, what happened. Mm-hmm. And now there's another layer to it. But I, like I said, I was not really worried, but I was careful watching and making sure that, I guess I was just wanting to make sure that the first doctor and Hartnell in particular got, you know, some respect, which I knew that would the intention would be to do that, but whether or not it actually worked, I was worried about, you know.
Well, the other thing that to bear in mind with this is that he had one of the biggest Hartnell fans in the world on set in Mark Gatiss. You know, he's the one that did Adventure in Time and Space. And so I think that I don't think that that's a coincidence that he was in this one. I'm sure, you know, besides him being like, you know, Moffat's hetero life mate kind of guy, you know, like you want to, you know, have your best friend in the last episode, but he's also, you know, a real buff of that period and could certainly, you know, if there was a line that didn't ring true, I'm sure he would have called him on it.
Yeah, and despite the buddy-buddiness of having Gatiss in there, I don't think you could argue that. I mean, Gatiss did an incredible job. I mean, even if he was just cast off the street, you'd be like, it was perfect. He was in, this is maybe the most perfect role he's had in Doctor Who.
Oh, absolutely.
Except for that mustache. Except for the mustache.
Well, you know, those Stewart mustaches are kind of weird.
Exactly. Oh, to no surprise was he a Ledgbert Stewart. That was the non-choker.
I did not see that coming, though.
You didn't?
Really?
So dumb. Because you know, even and like you, Mike, I was trying to avoid spoilers and things. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so why is there this random dude from World War One? And I made the connection that, oh, World War One, it's a Christmas episode. Oh, they're going to have the Christmas truce. And I was like, but he's got to be related to somebody. And I feel like such a colossal idiot because I was like, I can't figure out who he could possibly be.
As soon as I saw the pictures, I was like, oh, he's a Ledgerous Stewart. The mustache gave it away.
It should have. But I was in the moment enough that I didn't see it coming.
But no, Gatiss was awesome as the role that he played. Mm-hmm. I loved when he was first going through the TARDIS and with the two doctors, and he was just like, you know, doing the typical, it's bigger on the inside, that whole thing. And when the doctor said, you know, you're from World War One, and he looked in shock.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
what do you mean one?
What do you mean one? Oops, spoilers.
Exactly. What do you mean World War, you know, what do you mean one? And he was like, spoilers. It's just like, that was so great. It was done really well. And I just liked how I'm glad it didn't focus completely on him. He was almost like a side character.
Yeah. He was kind of like the observer for the whole thing, you know, the person who's not directly involved. And so, but he also wasn't being like the annoying, yeah, but what's this? Why is this happening? You know, he was, and I thought it was important in terms of the parallel storylines that he got to the end and he was at peace with the idea that he was going to die. You know, he was like, no, this is, you know, this is something that's going to happen. And I accept that. I am not happy about it, but I accept it. And I thought that was important to show that in parallel with both of the doctors coming to the same realization about endings and beginnings and the cycle, the circle of life, you know.
I do love the sort of reminders every once in a while, like the I'm still here is where he's like, you know, after a bit of dialogue or, you know, mm-hmm. of a scene, he'd just be like in the background and be like, and I'm lost again.
Yes.
Like, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. And no, I thought I had it, but now I don't.
And I love the whole reference, the Doctor of War.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
We go through all his titles in this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they, I was like, wow, I can't even, if I was asked to name all the doctor's titles, I don't think I could have come up with a list this long. My goodness. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the fans out there know the reference to every single one of them, but I'm hoping that's the only and last time that the Valyard is ever mentioned on the show.
Shadow of the Valyard.
Exactly. Well, exactly. And it was interesting because, you know, it said the Valyard, but it, of course the oncoming storm.
Mm-hmm.
The Imp of the Pandorica,
mm-hmm.
The Beast of Tenzalore,
mm-hmm.
the Butcher mm-hmm. of Skull Moon, and the Doctor of War,
mm-hmm.
and the Destroyer of Skaro.
Mm-hmm.
So, multiple times, I think.
Yeah, many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Gatiss's character represents choice, because mm-hmm. war is a choice, death in his situation was a choice. I mean, those two men sitting there pointing guns at each other, neither one of them had to pull the trigger. They just felt like they needed to because of the situation they were in. And so it's an interesting parallel with the doctor making the choice of basically giving up or going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with both the doctors.
And I thought that was a really nice touch. Yes, both the doctors.
Yeah, I like the fact that, you know, as I was mentioned before, even though both of them are hesitant to regenerate, they're stopping their regeneration, they're, mm-hmm. they're doing so for entirely different reasons.
Yes.
Exactly. And that was what was interesting about it. They were doing it, you know, for each one for a different reason, but the reasons they were doing it wasn't bad either.
Well, I mean, kind of. I mean, look, the first doctor was scared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I mean, he doesn't know what's going to happen next. He doesn't know who he's going to become. This is his first regeneration, right? So
yes.
He's just he's afraid to do it. Whereas the 12th doctor's just
tired.
Like, yeah, he's just yeah. like, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, and it's something that I think I said, you know, in when we were looking at the season finale, is that one of the things that struck me about it when, you know, when we knew that he's going to be regenerating soon and everything, but just the way that when he was talking with Missy and the Master about, you know, sacrificing himself and saying, you know, I'm going to die, you're going to die, everyone dies eventually. And it had the way that he was talking about it. This was not like Gallifrey man flu. This was like very seriously final. And I think that it was it makes it more meaningful and it makes it more brave if it really is the last sacrifice. You know, it kind of cheapens it if you know you're just going to regenerate. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting thing that he was bringing up, and it was partly that he was tired and he didn't want to go on, but I think it's also this has been a doctor who has been characterized by looking for meaning, you know, for wanting to know am I a good man, you know, for wanting to see where he fits in, which is you know, a really interesting thing to do with this kind of a show. And if you're, is it really a sacrifice if you're going to regenerate, you know, does it really have meaning?
Plus he's the first doctor from the new era,
yep.
right? From since New Who, to that has the luxury of like a backup band. Like, he's not the last Time Lord, right?
That's true.
He's not the last. He doesn't have to carry the torch anymore. He doesn't have to be the Time Lord. He can just be like let someone else do it. There's plenty of them now. I can be done now.
Well, and not only that, he had kind of trained Missy up to be his replacement.
And Clara in some ways.
Well, yeah, that too. But at the time, he didn't remember that. Missy.
Let's pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah. You know, he had that was very clear, I thought, in the season finale that he wanted to pass the torch to her. And say, you know, I've seen how much you've changed. You can do this now. And of course, the great tragedy being, she went nah, and walked away. And then decided, no, I am gonna change, and I am gonna go help the doctor. And then, you know, not so much.
Yeah.
It was interesting, and I liked it, though, because, you know, the Doctor, especially this incarnation of the Doctor, he wasn't, you know, he was in some ways more alien and more distant than even Matt Smith's Doctor, who we thought was just weird in a lot of ways. And it was just interesting. But, you know, as Capaldi's Doctor matured, he became more of the aging rocker type, and you know, that type of, and it was great to see. And like we've been saying, he evolved so much from in the 3 years that we had him. No, I would have loved to have seen him under Chibnall. I think it would have been amazing to see. I just you know,
it's interesting. I don't know if it's Chibnall's idea to wipe the slate clean, or if it's BBC's decision or what, or if everybody's just feeling like it's time to go. It's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, I'm looking forward to it because it's going to be fresh. Obviously, the cliffhanger is like, wow, okay, she's going to be falling for a long time, months, almost a year, right? So,
She's a time lady. It'll just feel like a couple seconds to her.
Well, see, the irony is that the episode before this was called "The Doctor Falls." So,
I guess
this first episode could be called "The Doctor Lands." I don't know. <Doctor Splats>.
It's a very short
run. Well, I mean, yeah, we got to talk about that, right? So I know we're winding down, but I mean, yeah, we're introduced to the 13th. That's pretty awesome.
Cool.
Yes, and I thought it was, you know, look, for all the people that are, you know, are wanting her first words to be like, oh, I'm still not Ginger. I still think it's, you know, the fact
jokes played out.
Right, and the fact that they didn't make a big deal about it, and they shouldn't, right? This should just be another regeneration, really.
No, it should just be another regeneration. But it was interesting because, you know, so many people were trying to, you know, play it into, you know, oh my god, it's the first woman, it's just a regeneration, it should be almost it should be not a non-issue.
I mean, like after every regeneration, he says things about his appearance, about his state of being, and said, we don't expect that to be any different, you know? So as long as it's not taken the wrong way, I think we'll be fine. You know, I mean, obviously it's going to be very, very different. The show's going to be very different. So, I'm curious. I mean, look, I mean, they've opened the door literally, that you know, she might not even be with a TARDIS for a while.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
I have a feeling she's not going to be, because I know it's supposed to be one big season arc, you know, with her story, at least the first season that she's going to be in. So it'll be interesting to see if she's, you know, banished to Earth or, you know, stuck there without a TARDIS.
Or just stuck, yes. I mean,
exactly. Because literally, not only did the TARDIS eject her, and as it was exploding, it went through time. It disappeared. Mm-hmm. You know, it just didn't just stay up there afloat. You know, and that she has to try to figure half the season. How am I going to get into orbit to get to my TARDIS? You know, mm-hmm. No, it's gone. She has no idea where it is. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this. I thought her opening scene was amazing. You know, I loved the smile and I loved her first words. And mm-hmm. we'll get into the contest that we had in a few minutes towards the end of the show. And so, you know, I just thought it was just awesome. And then, you know, she looks, sees her reflection. She gets the grin on her face. The grin actually reminded me a lot of Tenet in some ways. Yeah,
I'm seeing that a lot. The tone is there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought it was great.
Yeah, I loved her first words. I thought that was perfect. I mean, mm-hmm. that she just takes a look and she's like, oh, brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just the right thing, I mm-hmm. thought to say. And they did a really nice job at the whole regeneration scene. They didn't overdo it. It wasn't a sneeze either.
Yes.
I mean, it was very, very satisfying regeneration scene.
And I'm glad she didn't talk about her kidneys either.
There was no kidneys. There was no, I'm not ginger. There was no, you know, I'm a girl. Well, you know, or anything stupid like that. So I thought it was great. Mm-hmm.
I have seen a few people remark, and even me now, to the point where, like, look, doctor, if you're going to regenerate, could you please do it outside of the TARDIS, or at least not have the TARDIS, like, in motion?
Yeah.
Haven't the last three regenerations taught you nothing? He bestows all this wisdom on the new doctor before he goes, but yet he still puts it in the drive.
Yes.
Right. Well, apparently it's a lot of fun to fall out of an exploding TARDIS. It happens an awful lot.
Well, it's interesting because if you notice at the beginning of the episode, the cloister bell is going off.
Right.
Is it going off because he's crossed streams with the First Doctor or something else? And then
starting to regenerate.
Yeah, well, I assumed it was the
was it the regeneration?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Okay, but it was just interesting, and you know, I just, you know, I guess I just wanted to get a new TARDIS set, you know, and I really love this. I just love this one anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You don't share the First Doctor's views?
it's mood lighting.
It's mood lighting.
Yeah, or the First Doctor. You know, you don't have anyone like Penny to dust around here or clean up.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, oh, you just didn't go there.
Yep.
It was a fun episode, and I think that's what we needed. This blew Matt Smith's last story out of the water. Oh.
Well, Matt Smith's last story was one of the worst stories in modern Doctor Who.
That was not a good story. Yeah.
It was.
And so,
but I will say that the finale, like the final scene where he says goodbye, was really
Yeah. The I will always remember
that,
when
that
the
was
Doctor
very
was great. Yeah.
But yes, when BBC America was replaying that, I was half watching it, and I was like, "What is? Oh, I remember this." And I just turned away, like, "What is?" And because I haven't honestly seen it since then, and I was like, "This is, yeah, it's a mess." But this is not a mess. This is Stephen, you know, at his best, I would say, at least he went out on a high note.
Hey, at least he didn't make us scared of glass statues now, you know.
And I also got to mention, too, before we get ready to close. But look, Stephen, like if Chris is changing everything, please, if you leave one thing or if there's one person that you keep on staff, this is directly to you, Chris. Please let it be Rachel, because she is such a good director. This script in the hands of a lesser skilled director might mm-hmm. not have gone off as well as it did. She just brings a lot of nice touches, working with the actors and making it all happen. Her tenure this past year, two years, right?
At least two, I think maybe three.
Man, she's just delivered home run after home run after home run directing these episodes. And she can make an episode into one that's like, oh, that's pretty good. I'll watch that again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree completely with that.
She has said that she was asked to stay on.
I hope
but
so.
She would not say whether whether she agreed to that or not.
But we can ask her at Hulanta.
We can. That's true.
How about that?
The one thing I do want to throw in that I was disappointed in is I really wanted them to bring the angry eyebrows scene full circle. Especially with having the first doctor in there, it seemed like the absolute that made it even more perfect, you know, because how do we know how the first doctor knew to do that with the TARDISes and Gallifrey and everything? Oh, well, they could have said because the 12th Doctor told him, you know, or something like that.
I kept on waiting for it, but I was actually kind of glad because I didn't want it to be just forced in to the scene.
Well, I would have rather lost the scene with Rusty the Dalek and gotten that.
No, I could see that. But it was interesting though, guys, you know, truthfully, I realized they were not going to do it when they were in the Doctor's TARDIS. And he says, I really don't have any control of this TARDIS. You know, I don't know where it's going to go or how it navigates.
Mm.
And it's like, oh yeah, they're not going to touch on the Time War stuff. Cause you know, there's a lot of us that wanted it. There are, you know,
and
I agree.
Not only that, they kept going back to the Doctor of War over and over again. And I'm like, okay, so this is the perfect lead into it. You know, the first doctor, you know, says something about, you know, well, you know, some kind of, am I a good man kind of comment. And Capaldi's like, well, so there was this one time.
Maybe.
No, they didn't go there.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad they didn't do it because I'm just not sure they could have done it without it feeling like it was just stuck in there, like it was fan service.
Exactly. I didn't also want to say, hey, you remember that time when I did this?
Yeah.
That would have been, I think that would have been even worse. Too many people bitched and moaned about that in Matt's last story when Moffat tried to do that.
Yeah, victory lap.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I definitely don't think, you know, it was worth it that way. So
if they could have worked it in, it would have been cute. But I think looking at what they did, I can't see where I would have put it in. And it's fine the way it is. You know, I'm happy with what we got.
I love the running joke about the size of the TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Calling out the paint color and the size of the windows and everything.
You know, sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
After all these years holding in, you know, it's not holding it in as much as it used to. I just love that because, you know, that's just a reference of all of us getting older.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. I do understand that. All right. Any final thoughts before we go ahead and rate this? I think it worked well as a regeneration story, though.
Yeah, it was good for a regeneration story. It was good for a Christmas story. We've had really terrible examples of both of those, and I thought that this hit on both counts.
Okay, what kind of, you know, before we go ahead, one thing: what kind of criticism have you been hearing from people online? I'm just curious because I've been trying to stay away from the negative.
Well, just the usual. I mean, most of it is, most of the stuff I've seen is from a lot of fans wanting, you know, certain things resolved that weren't resolved. You know, I think that there's there wasn't a lot of action in it, you know, I think a lot of people, thought that it was they wanted it something more exciting. I even saw one poor soul, bless her heart. She criticized it because it didn't have anything to do with Christmas. And that had to be explained to her. And that was a very unfortunate and embarrassing for her situation.
Ooh.
So, So, but it's nobody I know personally. It's nobody that we know. It's not, you know, it's just something I saw online. It was just like, yeah, the fans were, and they were actually pretty kind in explaining it to her. So that was pretty nice. But, and she felt bad about it afterwards. Yeah, so, you know, there was, look, during the Moffat era, there was a lot of threads that he left out there, stuff that people were still hoping from Matt's run that he mm-hmm. would, you know, kind of tie mm-hmm. up in a bow before he left. And I'm, you know, Stephen is, you know, I'm glad he didn't feel the weight of that and say, my God, I have to wrap up everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. I am so glad they did.
There's so much out there that there's so much out there that, has yet to be resolved, but that's exciting. You know, if Chris wants to take some of that stuff and do something with it, that's cool. If not, then, you know, Big Finish will do it, or the fans, mm-hmm. will, you know, your imagination will do it. Mm-hmm. It's fan fiction.
That's what it's for.
Yeah. I mean, Doctor Who is one of those shows that's meant to inspire, and meant to inspire and spark your imagination. And it does so by not giving you all the answers all the time. And you can make those you can connect those dots yourself, and I like that about it. And there's a lot for us to think about. So it's gonna be really interesting next week or in the next episode when we, you know, review the Moffat era as a whole, because full of ups and downs. But at least, like I said, at least as far as I'm concerned, he went out on a high note.
That's cool.
The biggest criticism I've heard about it is that there wasn't enough plot, which I think is hilarious, because usually he gets criticized for there being too much plot. Mm-hmm. So he can't win.
No, but, damned if you do.
I think
if you
went
don't.
The right way.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I saw people who wanted Susan to be in it, who wanted Ian, mm-hmm. who wanted, like, you know, so there's a lot of, like, you know, people like, why didn't he do this? You know, why didn't they put these people in it? You know, but.
But then you would have had, if they were in it, why did they have to take up Peter's time with having these people in it?
Right.
I just thought it was really funny, because all these people are like, Susan and Ian, Susan and Ian, Susan and Ian. And right away we get Ben and Polly, and I'm like, nobody expect that. Nobody. I didn't see anybody say
that.
Nobody
expects Ben and Polly.
But, you know, it makes sense, because that's who the companions were when he was, you know, regenerating. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was thrown off, because I was like, wait, are they not in the TARDIS? Are they in the TARDIS? Are they come back to the TARDIS? Are they going to be there? And I was like, I was really confused. But I quickly, you know, remembered that, oh, no, they were not in the TARDIS at the time.
Nope. So. They were in the Antarctic base.
Yep.
With the Cybermen.
Because they came and discovered him after he regenerated, and they mm-hmm. gave hell for it because they didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm, right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I thought one of the interesting things about just where this is landing, and of course they had no idea, you know, culturally what was going to be going on. But with all of the flack and all of the internet rage over The Last Jedi, and the whole point of Last Jedi being about, you know, about moving on, mm-hmm. you know, about mm-hmm. paying homage to the past, paying respect to the past, but then saying, okay, now we need to move on. We need to let go, as the 12th Doctor said. It seemed like a really interesting thing to have those coming out within a couple weeks of each other, saying almost the exact same thing, with bringing back a character, you know, or two from the past, and then having, you know, people say it's time to let go in both of them. It just ended up being a really neat little synergy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a reflection of the time that we're living in, because we're definitely in a transition time culturally all around the world. And, you know, a lot of it is simply about letting go of the past and moving mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like that we're seeing that explored in our mythology and our stories. So kudos to you,
Without explicitly coming out and saying, make Gallifrey great again.
But bump.
There's That's our awesome. Next t-shirt.
Exactly. Make Gallifrey great again. I love it. Okay, Mary, get working on that one. All right, let's go ahead. Rate 1 out of 5 TARDISes, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best. Jen, it's your first time back for a while. Go ahead and rate.
I'm going to go 4.5. It was everything that I needed it to be, except the angry eyebrows. It was good as a Christmas episode. It was good as a regeneration episode, and it was so refreshing after the Matt Smith regeneration. I was just and because there was so much riding on this, with it not only being the end of Capaldi but the end of Moffat, it's like I went into it going, please don't screw this up, and they didn't. It was a very, very good episode.
Okay. Mary.
Well, I think I'm also going to give it a 0.5. I mean, I'm docking it because of Rusty. There was just no reason for Rusty to be there, and that was just a plot device. But overall, you know, I think it was a lovely way to send off Peter Capaldi's Doctor. I love the interaction between him and the First Doctor. David Bradley's performance was amazing. Mark Gatiss was so lovely to watch, such a sensitive performance, such a believable performance, and a nice callback to the Brigadier. And Rachel Talalay's direction was, I mean, that camera work, some of those camera shots are so beautifully framed. It's like watching art when you watch one of her episodes. And it was also a nice, you know, send off to Murray Gold, who has created some really lovely, wonderful music throughout the years. And we got to hear a lot of his themes, and I really enjoyed that. So overall, I think it was really, you know, a really good Christmas episode and a really good regeneration episode both. And those are hard to do at the same time. So good for you, Stephen. I think it's a 4.5 is well deserved.
Okay, Mikey.
Well, not only is it a regeneration episode, not only is it a Christmas episode, but it's also a multiple Doctor episode.
Yes.
So there's a lot like boxes that have to get ticked off here. And Stephen does it in a way that seems almost effortless in some ways. And so I give him a lot of credit. I will deduct a point. So I'm going to give it a 4.5 as well. I'm going to not a half point. I'll deduct it a half point because if anything, I think maybe they played it a little safe. Like all the boxes are checked. Mm-hmm. Everything looks good. It makes me feel good and everything, but I don't feel like this took any real chances. And I've known Steven to throw stuff out there and sometimes it doesn't work. So I get it. Like, this is not the time that you want to throw out the wild pitch. So I get that. So I don't blame him for it, but at the end of the day, I can't say this is his best episode. Like, this is not like, this is not the, this is not, yeah, him, like, yeah, this is not the best thing I've seen. Like, I think, you know, when we'll probably do this a little bit next time when we talk about his run, you know, I think he's written better, but this was perfect for what it needed to be.
Okay. No, I could totally see that. All right. I'm going to break it. I'm not going to do a 4.5. I can't. Nope. 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 I am going to give this one
a 2. No, just, no.
Okay. Mike said it. I give it a 2. No. Truthfully, I'm going to give this one a 4.75.
Oh,
jeez.
Okay.
Nah. No, I'm going to give this one a 5. This is, for me, this is my favorite regeneration story since the series came back. I enjoyed it. You didn't have This Is the Time of Your Life. You didn't have the Doctor living in Christmas Town. You know, you didn't, you know, and, you know, and then didn't have Rose, which was perfect, you know. So
that alone.
So, you know, I enjoyed it. This is going to be one I will be able to watch multiple times. I've seen it twice already. And, you know, I've already, you know, looking forward to seeing it a third time or even more than that, you know, probably in the next couple of days. And I just had a lot of fun with it. And kudos to BBC America for showing a week's worth of Doctor Who. And it was neat seeing some of the best episodes. And when I couldn't sleep at 3 a.m., you had to put on Sleep No More. Damn you.
And that is just not fair.
Yeah.
I do have to say, you know, kudos to BBC for that. But oh my God, there were so many commercials. Oh my God.
That was my one complaint. That's what almost brought it down even more than Rusty was all the commercials on BBC America.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm glad you did too, Jen.
And that's something that concerns me about the new series too, because they're going to full 60-minute episodes. And I'm assuming that they're, you know, I don't know how much they're going to pad that for BBC America, because I mean, are they going to make them hour and a half episodes?
They're going to have to.
And which means a third of the entire thing is going to be commercials.
That's why you DVR it.
Oh my God.
Fast forward buttons.
Mm-hmm.
But exactly. That's just terrible.
Yeah, but it was a good refresher to be able to see the stories leading up to it.
But
the commercials killed it. The commercials, and I was just waiting for, as soon as the doctor's hands started to glow, and it was just at the end, go to commercial. It was like, no, don't you dare.
Mm-hmm.
Or when Jodie appeared, commercial. But it's like, and then have her final scene. It's just like, no. And it was tough. That was my week with this one. And, you know, I watched it live, and I didn't want to wait around an hour and a half to be able to have to fast forward through commercials and stuff. And, you know, but it was worth it to watch it. Watching it the second time, because I did fast forward through the commercials, it moved a lot easier.
Yeah.
And it was.
The only thing that throws you off is that they show those stupid scenes.
Oh, I hate those. In the middle of
commercials. So you're like. You're like, okay, I'm buzzing through. Oh, wait, that's really... No, that's not... Damn you for fooling me.
I hate those.
Doctor Who behind the scenes. It's like, yeah.
Go behind the scenes.
I'll show you behind the scenes.
I'll kick you behind the scenes.
Exactly. Well, listen to any Earth Station Who you have behind the scenes right there. So, guys, it was awesome. I'm so happy to have new Doctor Who. And now we've got to wait till the fall. And I don't refer to what Jodie did at the end. So
we are literally waiting for the fall.
Exactly. So we're going to be back every 2 weeks, and we'll be talking all about Earth Station Who. Jen, thanks so much for joining us for this.
Thank you for having me back. It was an absolute pleasure.
Anytime you want to join us again, please, you know, the door's always open for you. No pun intended. And where can people find you?
I'm around less than I used to be, but Earth Station MCU will be coming back with a couple of episodes, and we will be going through the remainder of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then beyond that, who knows? Indeed.
And of course, Mary, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It was wonderful having the chance to finally talk about new Doctor Who again. And it's going to be a long, long stretch until we get some more Doctor Who. But man, am I looking forward to it. Jodie already looks fantastic. So I cannot wait.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly. If people are interested in my artwork, just go to maryogle.com.
And you want to pimp the t-shirt?
I always want to pimp the t-shirt. Everybody, we have the world's greatest t-shirts. If you just go to TeePublic, you can click on the link right off the show notes or right in the menu bar on the ESO podcast site, and it will take you to our TeePublic store. We have a fantastic selection of geeky, nerdy science fiction t-shirts that you will love.
Exactly. More coming real soon, too. They're always
That's
coming.
That's right.
New.
We're working on them right now.
Exactly. We're working our fingers to the bone. We're going to work through the new year trying to get you new t-shirts.
It's a sweatshop.
Exactly. The ESO sweatshop. Ooh, that's a great podcast name. I like that. And Mr. Mike.
As always, it's my pleasure.
Always great talking Doctor Who with you, my friend.
Absolutely. It's been a fun year of doing so. We're not done. Yeah, we are done for the year, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, God, yeah.
2017 was pretty cool. Yes, 175 episodes. That's a pretty great achievement as well. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of who water under the bridge. Yep, but I'm ready for more. I'm recharged up. I feel regenerated.
I'm speechless on that one. Wow, I don't even know where to go after that. But it's great to be able to talk all Doctor Who with you guys. I can't say anything but wonderful things. I get to talk Doctor Who with my friends. This is what's awesome about this.
Yay.
And, you know, we definitely love hearing from you guys at home. Please feel free, eswpodcast@gmail.com and 404-963-9057. Like Mary mentioned, we now have a T Public store. And also to complement the T Public store, of course, we have the Amazon site. You know, it's holidays are over, but I'm sure a couple of you have gotten Amazon gift cards. Why not go spend it through ESO? You know, it doesn't cost you anything. And when you do it, helps support the station. All you need to do is go to esopodcast.com. Right at the top, in the top navigation, we have amazon.com right there. And we also have TeePublic right next to it. You know, definitely, we're not charging anything extra to go shopping through there. We're not charging any fees. And we keep on telling you, our podcasts are free. You know, we don't charge anything for the podcasts. So, you know, that's how we keep it that way, is, you know, with your support. And you know what? In 2018, we might even be asking for a little more support, but we'll still keep our podcast free. That's all we have to do. Thank you guys so much. You know, people have been subscribing up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio. We are even up on TuneIn. You know, we are, you know, wherever you can find podcasts, we are all up there now. So please definitely subscribe and rate us. That's all we can ask. Like Mike had mentioned earlier, we are going to be talking next episode all about the Stephen Moffat era. I think that's pretty darn awesome. It's going to be great to, you know, review all his plot holes, everything he left us hanging with. It's going to be great. So, you know, Moffat.
It's going to be a very long podcast.
Oh, you think?
With absolutely no resolution of anything.
Yeah, we're done.
Exactly.
So we're not promising anything.
Nope.
But at the same time, also no consequences for anything. So.
Exactly. Nothing really matters because, you know, it all equals out at the end. And speaking of ending, let's end this episode. We will see you next time here on Earth Station Who. My name is Mike Faber. As always, Happy New Year, everybody, and to a great 2018. We'll see you then. Peace. And we're done.
Yay!
You have been listening to Earth Station Who, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talents from across the universe. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individual and are used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our podcast up on iTunes, Stitcher, or follow our blog at www.esopodcast.com. You can also follow us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. If you enjoyed the show, please leave feedback up on iTunes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.